Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Bob.
I have some announcements here.
All right.
Twice monthly, Yoga for Sangha sends out yoga videos grounded in the themes of awareness practice and especially designed for Sangha. The deadline to sign up for the program is next Tuesday, April 14th. All proceeds will be donated to Living Compassion in Cantalumba.
Mm-hmm.
Our upcoming recording and listening class will offer a brand new curriculum and is perfect for old-timers and beginners alike. Participants will be invited to deepen RL skills, explore the technique of interviewing, and train in receptivity to grace. The five-week class begins April 21st. And as promised in the guide's recent blog, a new open-air type style radio show, Your Best Shape Ever, will offer support for keeping commitments to take care of ourselves. The show is offered at no charge on Wednesdays from May 6th to June 10th. For these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
So, is that it, Bob?
That is it.
All right. Well, a couple of things about that. One, we want to make clear it's your best shape possible, because ever might be a stretch for some of us. Say it again.
I'm right there with you on that.
Yeah. So, right. Things change. The other thing about it, that it is for 6 weeks, and that's simply so we see how it goes. You know, if people love it and find it really helpful, then, you know, it'll go on. If it's just one of those things where, yeah, that was fun and interesting, but nothing I want to stick with, then it'll just be the 6 week trial run.
Great. Yeah. Very exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, should we talk to some callers here, Sherry?
All right.
Okay. I'll bring on my first caller here. First caller. You're now live on the air, and will you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. I'm really surprised. Gosh, this is Andrea.
Now, Andrea, why are you surprised? Now, really, you put yourself in the queue. It's not like we came over to your house and, you know, put you on your telephone. I'm saying that only because it's so interesting.
Yeah.
Is that interesting?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess it is. I mean, I guess I just put myself in the queue because I wanted to connect and I just, you know, do it. You know, I guess I've just been doing it because I feel like, well, I don't know.
What we do.
I guess it's going to sound like I'm coming from conditioning, but... like I, quote, should do it.
Yeah, that you're right. That does sound a tiny bit like conditioning. Although, you know, if you're going to come from conditioning, that's not a bad conditioning to come from. You should practice. You really should practice. And it's great. Okay, well, that's true. I should and I want to. But then it always strikes me funny that people are surprised when they get unmuted when they're in the queue.
Well, it's funny. I think it's just because I have this conditioning where, you know, I just don't expect, I don't know, maybe it's just I don't expect to get on, you know, like I put myself in the queue because I, quote, should, but then don't really expect to get on, you know, like.
Well, good. I'm glad, Andrea, because if the voices were saying, nah, you're going to get on, you know. Then they would follow that up with, so you better not put yourself in the queue. Because if you do, you're going to get on. You know, you don't want to do that. But this way, they tell you you should get in the queue. You get in the queue, and then they, you know, let you forget about the fact that you will probably be unmuted at some point. And then, you know, it's a pleasant surprise or a shock, however we want to think about it.
Yeah, I guess a shock. Well, I guess I guess I should just report on what I'm looking, seeing, I guess, right?
That seems intelligent to me.
Yeah, what I'm seeing right now as I'm talking to you is this belief that I have to have something really intense to talk about before I get on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, and we know why, right? We know why. Do you know why? Shall I tell you why? Shall I tell you why?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Yeah. Because that puts ego absolutely in charge of the whole thing. It actually puts the ego in charge of a person's whole life.
Yeah.
Right? You have to have everything worked out. You have to have it figured out. You basically have to be finished before you can participate. And, of course, any time we check in with ego, it's going to say, no, you're not ready. You can't participate. You're not ready. And so we never get to participate.
Well, you know what I'm seeing is that there's a belief that if I don't have anything, if I don't have the right thing to talk about, then I'm wasting the call. And then, the next time when I do have the right thing to talk about, I will have just been on, so I won't get on again. I'm seeing this right now as I'm talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing about it that we can see in this is that this prevents us from ever just looking to life to tell us what it's time for us to talk about.
Mm, yeah.
Right? So we identified with ego, stay in charge of that decision. So, we talk about what we want to do is listen for the still small voice to guide us.
Yeah.
But the still small voice, if we're looking to the still small voice to guide us, then what we want to do is just be in the moment and see what the still small voice has to say. But if we have to be prepared and have something really good, or if we're going to somehow miss out if we're not doing that, well, you don't want to waste your turn listening to life.
I love that. Yeah, that's great. I mean, wow, that really puts this kind of subconscious stuff out into the open, which I probably didn't see before. So.
Yeah. So if you were prepared, what would you talk about? Or you could just tell us a little about what's going on in life.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of undulations. I'm seeing, a lot of, today, getting really, really identified and, with anger, and then being able to disidentify and just seeing a lot of intense emotions. And I have been doing the listening assignment and recording, and there were a couple of times today when I was really identified with anger, and I just when the alarm went off, and it was just all I could think of was, well, I'm really identified right now, and that's it. I just said it in the recorder. Then the last time I did it, I think I'm a little more calm. And there's actually, maybe I can see what or who or something listening.
Uh-huh. So what I hear you experiencing and reporting on is presence.
Yes. And seeing this conversation, trying to pull me into a lot of stuff, and as I'm talking to you, I'm more aware right now of the conversation trying to pull me into suffering, which I really don't think I was aware of before.
Yes. And so it's of course those alarms. It's so great because, again, what ego would like us to focus on is how things should be and how we should be.
Right.
So the alarm goes off, and there's the ego scorekeeper, right? Now, are you having the right experience or not? no, you're really identified. You're identified with anger. Well, clearly that's the wrong way to be. But what we're doing is awareness practice. We want to be aware of what we're identified with. It's not I win the game if I'm never identified with ego.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's great. Because what I'm seeing right now is something I say to myself. This is an awareness practice. It's not a doing it right practice.
That's it. And yet, unless we're having a mechanism like the alarms going off and we see what's going, we don't see that because we are so conditioned not to be aware of what's going on with us, right? We're conditioned, we're trained that the right way to be in life, the real actual way life works is to be lost in a conversation in our heads, right? I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about that and I'm looking at that and I'm wondering about that and I'm remembering that and that's going on and what about that and what should I do about that? And okay, and that's what life is. No.
Yeah.
That's what ego is, right? And so ego doesn't want us to have that alarm go off and realize I'm stuck in a conversation about how I'm mad at, right? Because that pulls back the curtain. Now I'm seeing, because some fool is going to say something like, you're missing your whole life because you're not actually where you are, being with what's happening, doing what you're doing. Your body is there, but you, in quotes, are in your mind in an imaginary world that doesn't exist anywhere except between your two ears, right? You with me on all of that?
Yes, yes. I mean, it's the standard way that ego gets me by basically putting me in resentment and...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there I am, the alarm goes off, and I realize, oh my God, I am about what he did, what she did, what they... Are they here? No. Are they doing that? No. Is any of that happening now? No. Well, what's happening?
Well, the conversation is more like, I have too much work to do because I'm working, and that, you know, that's when it's going off.
Okay, all right, then let's take that one. I love real-life examples. Okay, do you have all of that work to do right now? No. The only work that you can do right now is the work that you're doing right now.
Right.
All the too much work is happening in the imagination.
Absolutely.
In that
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So when we stop there and realize, wait a minute, two things happen with that. One, I'm not here doing the work that I'm doing, which would probably be enjoyable if I were actually here doing it, right? The body is doing all of this stuff, right, a kind of an automatic pilot, while the head, the mind, who I think I am, is in this parallel imaginary reality in which there's too much for me to do.
Right.
So I don't get anything but misery.
Yeah.
And I believe that that's my life, and it isn't.
Mm.
Isn't this good? Aren't you glad you didn't have anything really good to talk about?
Yes. I guess I just really have to I don't know. Just remind myself to get out of the conversation.
Here's what I think you have to do. I think you have to do what we all have to do, which is do exactly what you're doing, which is awareness practice.
Right?
Because here we are. We're doing awareness practice. We're seeing this stuff. And if we don't get into the, well, how long have you been doing this? And you're still, you know, if we don't go down that road, then what we realize is, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing more and more. I'm more present. I'm catching on to what's going on. Yeah, this is good. This is really good.
That's true. I mean, I am more present. And
you're not suffering like you were when we met.
No, it's you know, I'm definitely, you know, like I, as I said, I have these undulations, but
Yep.
I'm able to get
Yep.
out of them more easily than in the past.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all good. Makes me happy. Thank you. Glad you were unmuted.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you so much. And really, it's just great to connect. You know, it's just...
It is.
Yeah.
Because we like to practice. We both like to practice. Like to practice together.
And participate.
That's a good deal. And participate. Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Be here, right? Because when we're here doing this, what we're doing right now, neither one of us can be off in an imaginary conversation in our head with people who aren't here about stuff that's wrong that's not happening now.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's why we do it.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Gosho, thank you so much.
Gosho. Go happy.
You too. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. And Sherry, I'm going to bring on the next caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Diane in Colorado.
Hey, Diane.
Hey, long time no chat. That was such a great conversation.
Good.
I really appreciated both sides of that. I'm calling because we're encouraged, those of us who are in the beginner's mind class, to call in about our experience, and I feel like I shouldn't talk about my experience, which is why I got in the queue. So here we go.
Good job.
I know.
I was told I shouldn't do it. That's why I'm doing. You know, this is like rebellion against childhood messages, right? You're not supposed to do that. Okay, I'm going to do that. Not supposed to talk about that. Yep, I'm going to talk about that. That's the thing I'm going to talk about.
And that's why we're here.
That's why we're here, exactly.
So when I look at the personalities that are present, it's really way more grim parts of me than I expected. I am not the most lighthearted person on the block, for sure, but that part of me wasn't coming out at all, at least not when the alarms went off. I mean, I'm reveling in the red bud with its glorious purple flowers that feel like they're inside my house because there's a big window and it's right outside and the apple tree blooming and all of that. But that is short-lived, and what seems to be going on, or what is captured in my looking when the alarm goes off, is somebody in a various levels of a existing, not thriving state.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
Diane,
that's not what I want. You know, what's happening,
no.
And I can be aware of it, but that's not what I'm looking for in my life. So.
Right, and so... How would you describe it? Is it a physical kind of a is it a conversation? Is it I mean, how does that aspect show up?
I think some of it's a conversation, and just I guess that creates the feeling of, I don't know, being kind of powered down. I am recovering from really significant shoulder surgery, but I'm not laid out on my back anymore, and it's getting better, and I'm feeling good about that, but I can't do all the physical things that I will be able to do months from now. And that feeds into it, because those things are good for my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But that I don't think that's really it, because I'm also joyful that it is improving and I can see it. You know, it's when you get the plateau and you feel stuck, that's harder. It's like, okay. It's a long road and I'm walking the road, and the slope of progress isn't steep, but it's a positive slope. It's moving along. Anyway, long bit about that.
So it's something else. And do you have a sense that you're becoming aware of something that has always been there, that kind of lurks under the surface? As you say, you're not known for being the most chipper person, but that this is a level that might be feeding the not so chipper level, if that hangs together.
Yeah, it hangs together. Kind of, but I don't think it was this way a year ago, and I am definitely in a much better place now that I've found practice. So I don't know if that completely answers your question. The whole thing isn't completely new, but I was taken aback by how pervasive it was. And I think if I had done this whole thing maybe a year and a half ago, not just a year ago, I wouldn't have found, I mean, what's going on in the world weighs heavily on me. I guess that's kind of what I'm saying, that a lot of it, I think, comes from that.
Uh-huh.
But probably not all of it.
Uh-huh. So perhaps a tendency, right? A tendency of an aspect to focus on the negative or focus on what's not working or maybe be anxious, worried, or, you know, have issues like fairness or one of those kinds of that the circumstances now of your life gives that orientation a greater opening to be there, and yet to remain under the level of conscious awareness. So it was only in doing these particular practices that you realized, as you say, how pervasive it is.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. I would say that, yeah, fairness is a big one for me. I'm a lawyer, for goodness sakes, and I did it because I care about made a living doing what I felt like was a really important contribution to the world, not just whoever paid me money to use my skills on their behalf. So, yeah, there's that empathy for suffering, feeling helpless. Mm-hmm. There are things that we can do and that I do, and the need is so profound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so with this, with your awareness of how pervasive this is, do you feel like you can you have the tools you need to assist the person who suffers with this? Because I'm looking at it as two aspects. Okay, there's the aspect who is struggling with, as we say, the unfairness, the how great the need is, the all of those things that are the result of what's going on in the world. That could possibly be one aspect, but the one who feels the weight of those emotions could actually be another aspect.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like the lawyer could get upset over the injustice of the whole thing, but that wouldn't necessarily be the same emotional response as somebody who just feels the helpless and it's so sad and there's so little that those two could play off of one another in a way that would not be really uplifting for you.
Yeah, I'd have to listen to that again, but yes, I can agree that it's not uplifting.
yeah. And so with tools like interviewing and that sort of thing, of course, we can begin to get in touch with what's going on for each of the aspects. Now, you know, there's egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that's always looking for a way to use everything against us. But that's a kind of a separate deal from the folks, the aspects who are just struggling with whatever it is that they're struggling with and don't really have any support for it. They're, you know, they don't have the they don't have attention on them so that it's possible to process it and explore what's going on. So then you're just kind of stuck with it. This stays sort of depressing.
But, and that doesn't come from egocentric karmic conditioning? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's why it's so important to explore it. The injustice of everything can come from two places, right? It can come from a deep sympathy and sadness for people who are being poorly treated. But then when ego gets hold of it, it turns into, yeah, and that's wrong, and they, and blah, 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 right? And so very often when ego takes hold of something like that, it can feel very righteous, right, to be angry about something that is, yeah. But the person who's stuck there in feeling sad and sort of helpless and overwhelmed with the feeling is not being taken care of.
Right.
And until that person is taken care of, is heard and supported and, gets what they need, then those ego voices can use their process to create suffering.
I see. So your point is more compassion might alleviate some of the suffering, which probably is always
yes.
true, right?
Yes. To be with whoever that is. So when you look at it and you say this kind, I don't know the exact word you used, but that down energy or what would you call that? That's pervasive, that you hadn't realized. What word did you use?
I don't know. It's kind of blah. You know, it's not terrible. It's not.
Yeah.
I can't get out of bed. I can't function, but it's subpar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the person who is feeling that, who is having that experience, would be the one that you would want to create a relationship with, right? So instead of blahing through the day, when that blah feeling is there, you address that. And the importance of that, of course, is that you who will address that, you are not that.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be the conscious, compassionate awareness that is in relationship with that aspect that is stuck feeling blah and all of the other things that might be revealed in that, right? And so that's the power of it, of course. So if you're not taking the role of conscious, compassionate awareness and reaching out to an aspect of the personality to process that, then the odds are very good that you are going to get identified with the blah, and then not realizing that you're identified with that, go through the day in just kind of a subpar way. Without really knowing why, or that you're identified with an aspect of the personality, which I project is what happened with the, you know, doing the exercise. Suddenly it's like, oh, huh, okay, that's what's going on with that.
Okay, I will give that a shot, or use
okay.
the tool that's always been here and. With that guidance, use it in a way that maybe, hopefully, will be helpful at this point.
Yeah, and it could be the two-handed or the interviewing, you know, whichever, or both. Whatever is going to be most helpful to that person who's trapped in blah, to know what's going on and not be stuck there.
All right.
And you'll let me know, won't you?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you, Diane.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All right, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Diane. And Sherry, you know, what struck me about that conversation that you just had is how, I don't know, emblematic maybe it is of practice. You know, that like it's an inquiry that's coming from awareness.
Yes.
And being directed at, you know, to check it out for ourselves, because that's the only place from awareness we're actually going to find any help, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that disidentification is the key, right? That I have to move into a different place, one that we would talk about as conscious compassion awareness, in order to step back from, in quotes, myself, mm-hmm. enough to be interested in what's going on, realize if, and the language is so tricky, isn't it? If I can see that that's not me, if I'm, so say it's somebody who is upset about whatever, or angry, a la the first caller, you know, I realize that there's that anger that's going on. I'm not feeling anger, but I know that I can get identified with that throughout the day, right? So here I am. I have stepped back from that. Now I'm in a position to be able to have a conversation with that anger, right? We say the aspect of the personality that's angry, or however we wanted to talk about it. But I'm disidentified. I'm now in awareness, and that's the key to the whole thing, right? We're realizing that I get identified with that anger, and then I step out of that, and I can see it for what it is. I realize that's not me. That's an aspect of the personality, or with a little exploration, I might find out, actually, it's egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Just run a little scam over there to get some attention and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and it does seem like the disidentification piece is so important at the beginning, because
yes.
until I'm disidentified, I'm just responding to whatever ego is pulling me to, either to the emotion or the feeling or to the belief that I needed to be X person to resolve
yes.
whatever is going on.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just caught in this whole story of I'm this way, I shouldn't be this way, I need to do something about it. I need to fix it. I need to feel bad. I need to whatever. And you know that the disidentification being the first part of it, that's the magic of the alarms, right? Mm-hmm. Because the alarm goes off and suddenly there is just an automatic disidentification, right? Whatever I was caught in before, when that alarm went off, suddenly I'm in a different viewpoint. Now I'm looking at that just happened a second ago, mm-hmm. right? And somebody was talking about it, I think it was on the morning, the year long, about how easily we can then get pulled back into the conversation and re-identify. Mm-hmm. The person who was describing that was able to see that process, right? Mm-hmm. So we just can't lose with this. Whatever happens, we're going to see something.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely my experience.
Yeah. And since we are awareness practitioners, then again, that's the point, right? Mm-hmm. That's the point that, oh, I am aware of something that I was not aware of before. Mm-hmm. All right. This is good. This is what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sherry, I'm going to bring on our next caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hi. Oh, gosh, good conversations. I wanted to call in just to tell you that I'm also interested in the health wellness challenge.
Best shape we can
best
be
shape
in
ever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm interested in participating
in
that. And
good.
I have been doing it for some time. Kind of in, what do they call that? Starts and fits, like.
Oh, fits and starts. Yeah.
Fits and starts.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another another way of talking about undulations, right?
Yes. Yes.
I'm enthused.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot. I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gone. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been watching it as it goes along. And what I really love about it is I'm noticing when I do things the way I want to do them, like eat healthier food and exercise more and those sorts of things, I just feel so much better. Like, it's,
yes,
like, really, really noticeable.
Yes. And once again, you know I'm going to say this, Renee. Everybody, you know, this is where you just kind of, everybody goes, yeah, she's going to say that thing, right? That is why we are so constantly talked out of doing anything that's good for us.
Huh.
There's no suffering, right? I mean, if we're making those choices, you're eating well, you're getting exercise, you're drinking lots of water, you're getting enough sleep, you feel good. You're not suffering. Where's ego going to get its juice out of that?
Right, right. Which is even another level of feeling better.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
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 It's a whole package, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and it's I've just been really, especially the food part, it really makes a difference for me. And like when I go on a trip or if it's a holiday, I'll notice myself slipping more, you know, during those periods of time. If I'm just doing my regular days, I can easily stick to what I want to do. And then, but if there's something that interrupts it, then I kind of get off track for a little bit of time. But I'm developing a skill to get back on track pretty quickly, like, which I think is something I hadn't seen before. Like, I would just go completely unconscious after I got off track, right? Like, I go on a trip and then I just keep eating that way forever and not really be paying attention. Now I'm like, okay, I'm feeling bad again and I'm eating bad again. And now, okay, what do I do to get back on track? And then I know what to do, you know. So
yes, exactly so. And that connection is just critical.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, again, if we look at what we are told is a good time, what do we look forward to, right? I want to go on a trip. I want to go on vacation. I want to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what does that translate into for ego? I want to go unconscious. I want
to
eat
relax.
A bunch of bad food. I want to drink a bunch of bad stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to be a good time. And it takes us a while to realize, actually, it isn't. It isn't a good time. Yeah.
I've noticed that as well. I've noticed I don't want to go on any trips. which is very opposite of what I used to think, you know. So
yeah.
So that's really fun too. Yeah And I also was thinking of so there's like this undulations of going down into the kind of depression about the world and what's happening and everything, and then there's the not being in that place where it's like, well, like, so if I'm in the place of being depressed and like, oh my gosh, this is like really bad, things are happening and all of this, then it's kind of like, oh, then I'm going to treat my body worse, right? Like, I'm going to eat bad, I'm going to comfort myself and those sorts
of
things.
That's right. Yeah.
But then when I'm like not depressed about it, which in that frame of mind, it's more like, how much good can I do right now, right? How can I be the best person I can be right now, whatever, for, you know, to, in my mind, offset the evil things happening. And then I'm like, now I want to eat right and feel better and exercise. And then I'm having a good time too. Like, okay, and the reasons I want to do it are to have a better time and to do more things that are good and have more fun. So it's kind of a...
Yes, and it does. It really does go together. And as you were laying that out, again, one of the great lies that we have to see through is that all of the really fun things in life are bad for you, right? And and so you want those things, right? Because those are those are fun. They're it's that's where the juice is. That's where
that's the lie.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if we then the next piece of the lie is, and you shouldn't want that. If you were a good person, if you were the right person, you wouldn't want those things, right? Which just makes them more desirable. And at the same, you know, it's in the battering cycle, you know, the self-hate cycle, where it feels good and feels bad at the same time. Yeah, and so that's the grip that we're caught in. And moving into that place that, that you're talking about, which is, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to do that. If I wanted to do that, I could do that. There's no should, there's no feeling bad. There's no right or wrong person. I want to do what takes care of this human being because that makes me happy. And then it's a whole different deal.
It is. It's like the light room and the dark room, right? It's two different places. And I had never seen what you just said about feeling bad about doing what I enjoy, in quotes. But I think it. I think it's there.
Oh, it's everywhere. It's every. It's every, in quote, sin, right? It's every, you know, it's all the, it's smoking, it's drinking, it's sex that you shouldn't be having, it's eating food that you shouldn't be eating, it's, you know, these are all the forbidden pleasures. These are the desirable things that, and every one of them, what do they have in common? They feel good and they feel bad. You get what you want, and you hate yourself for having it. It's just the,
Food is probably the only one of that group that I probably really do, but the travel, like traveling, so you could say, oh, I really want to go here. Well, that,
or
that,
I want to buy this thing.
I feel guilty about that.
Right, I want to buy this thing.
I want to buy something,
And I know I shouldn't, and I don't, but I want it so bad. And then I have it, and I just hate myself for being that person. It's it's and it's so sad because the whole thing is based on a lie. You know, you could go in any direction with it, right? You could eat whatever that is and just enjoy this stew out of it. That's a funny way to talk about that. But really enjoy it, right? I mean, you wouldn't do that all the time because you, after a while, you wouldn't want to, right?
Right. Well, right. Well, and I think the root cause of what you're saying is the lie about enjoying it. Like you, that's what you're told you're going to enjoy, and then I have to say I do enjoy some of it, though. I mean, like when I travel and I go see art museums and I do things that I enjoy, I do enjoy them, and I don't beat myself up for them.
You don't allow yourself to be beaten for them.
Right.
And so what are we pointing at here, Renee? Conscious, compassionate awareness. Right? A person can go on a trip, can go, can eat different food, can go to a museum, can go to a play, to a, for me, it would be the ballet.
Yeah, I go
so,
to plays,
you know, can,
and I love
can
those.
Go do,
yeah.
can go do
concerts.
Those things
yeah.
and
yeah.
really enjoy them, which is not the same as that self-hating, driven, lusting, secret,
Yeah, looking for that comfort is what I would call it, or to make me feel better.
Scratch an itch.
Yeah, versus I'm planning to go do something I enjoy, which isn't to make me feel better. It's to actually go and enjoy something. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm on board. Good. I don't know what's coming next, but I look forward to
me either. But
it.
I never do.
Sangha. Yeah,
good.
That's true. We don't know. That's true.
All right. Thank you, Renee. More soon.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you. Take care.
And to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. And Sherry, I'm going to bring on the next caller here. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
No.
Next caller.
Oh, this is Tony
there.
From Athens.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Sherry. Feeling a little shy and speechless here, or nervous or something. But I, when it was first the Who's Here workshop, recent guided imagery, and it was, there was encouragement to work with it and then call in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I put it on my calendar that I was going to
do it. Good for you. All right. Good.
Yes, so keeping that commitment to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I really have been working with it. But it's like right when I'm getting on this call, there's too much to say, and I don't know what to say. So I guess that's two of Who's Here right now.
Aha. Yes. Yes. So there's somebody who has a lot to say and wants to say it. It does for me. It's easy to project someone who's young, who's really excited, you know, just really excited and has all this, just came back from Disney World, and somebody says, "So how was it?" Right? and there's just so much there, right?
Uh-huh.
But where do I begin? How would I capture it? How would I, anyway, that's where
yeah.
it would be for me. It's all projection.
Yeah, because, it's true. I've been loving it. I've absolutely loved it. I've been, and that helps me express some of the enthusiasm because I've been doing it every morning for a bit of time and times during the day, and just listen to the guided imagery, and I was making notes. Okay, there's this person thinks this kind of thought, and there's this emotion, and I'm been amazed. Like one morning, I think I don't even know if it's yesterday or this morning. I'm up like an hour and a half, and there's probably at least 10 different Who's Here. And just one that comes after another, and it was just really surprising.
Well, yeah, and doesn't it explain an awful lot about why we struggle in life? Because if in that period of time, there are 10 completely different orientations to life that are meant to be happening to one person.
Mm.
I mean, you could feel mentally ill in a hurry, right?
Yeah.
If we really pay attention to it, right? So I like this, and I don't want that. I'm really irritated about that. Right? And it's just happening one thing right after the other. So as you know, I'm sure you know, but with aspects of the personality, the way we talk about it is that there's an aspect of the personality that comes up in a moment, say.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever experience that aspect has, it has that experience, and then that need, if we want to talk about it that way, that need is met, and it leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing is there. Now,
mm-hmm.
the next thing might have something to do with that, what that was, and might not, right? But the next thing is there. And if we're not aware in the way that you got aware of it, right? If we're just believing I'm this monolithic entity called me, and then I'm feeling all these things and thinking all these things and imagining all these things and remembering all these things, one after the other, again, I feel nuts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I am aware that from this, we could call it centered place, although, we don't always feel that centered when we're in that place, that I'm aware mm-hmm. of that. I'm aware of that thought. I'm aware of that emotional reaction. I'm aware of that sensation in the body and the meaning that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then we can see that it's much like what's happening in the rest of life, where things are just changing on a moment-by-moment basis. Well, so am I.
Mm. Uh-huh. Yeah, as you were saying that, I was having this experience of, when we talk about being the witness, it's like it's being like possessed by a certain aspect. I'm witnessing it and seeing it and being with it, and it feels so different than not.
Yes. Yes. So if I'm a character, excuse me, if I'm a character in a movie and I don't know it, then I'm going to be having one experience, right? Because all this stuff is going to be happening around me, has nothing to do with me. I don't know what it is, but I'm reacting to everything right after it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Can we picture that that's a lot like what it feels like to be me most of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
if I am a character in a movie, and I know I'm a character in a movie, and I know that everything around me is also part of that movie, then it can be really interesting.
Hmm.
Can you sense the difference in that?
I'm sort of. I'm not sure.
Well, how about if we let's make it a play instead of a movie.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So so in the one case, it takes me back, Tony, to one of my favorite things of all time. You've probably heard me talk about it. There used to be a show on television when I was young, and it was the Carol Burnett Show. I don't know if you're old enough to remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, this was the Gary Moore Show. Okay, this is a very important distinction. And the Gary Moore Show, it was a variety show, and Carol Burnett was a young comic who was introduced on that show and was on it for years, right? And so they would do these skits. And of course, they're a skit, right? So it's like a little mini play, and everything is rehearsed, and everybody plays their part in it, and it's a comedy, and, blah, blah, blah. Okay? So she was getting ready to leave the show. And on the last night that she was on the show, they had rehearsed this skit, and then all of the rest of them rehearsed a different one. So, yeah, can you get the feeling for it? Yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah. So when the whole thing started, she thought she was in one skit and everybody else was in a different skit. And to watch her begin to catch on that there was something very, very wrong with what was happening, and then to try to catch up with, and of course it was improv, right?
Yeah.
At that point, it's just trying to, all right. So, That's how it can feel if we think we're in one skit, which is how we tend to approach life. I know what's going on. I know how it should be. I know how I should be. I know, right? Why are we so upset with how the world is right now? Well, because we think we know how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And how it is, or how we're perceiving it, is not like it should be. And that's
mm-hmm.
very disorienting to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, did we ever know how the world should be? Is there a how the world should be? Haven't we just made that up? Because,
mm-hmm.
right? And aren't each one of us living in, isn't, what would be the verb? Isn't each one of us living in our own idea of how the world should be?
Yes.
And being
yes.
upset because it, okay? All right. So there's that. But then what if you knew that you didn't know what the skit was? What if you knew that? What if you came into, what if you came on stage with the knowledge that everything that's happening in that skit is completely unknown to you? Because it's all going to be made up in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
How would you be?
You would have to be very present.
Wouldn't you? Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It, you wouldn't want to be clinging to ideas about how things should be. Because, right? There's no truth to that. And you're just going to be extremely unhappy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you realize it is in fact improv,
mm-hmm.
and you have no idea what's going to happen in this moment, and
well.
The moment after this one, and the moment after this one, and the moment after this one, no idea whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Then
yeah, I can imagine I would be just so focused and watching, you know, everybody around me, and not get caught up in a conversation in my head, or just not allow anything to pull my attention away, because it would be,
disastrous.
I wouldn't know what to say to do. Yeah.
That's exactly right. It would be dangerous, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would be dangerous.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And yet, because we assume that we know, because
mm-hmm.
we're living in a conversation in our head about how things are and how they should be and everything that we know to be true, we're distracted constantly.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder we're anxious.
Yes, yes.
And so with that, back to our original, what you were brought to us, you're watching in this improv way how these different aspects of you are coming up to respond. Because there can't be just one response, right? You're going to be pulling from every possible way of being in order to unfold, to evolve with the moment as the moment is unfolding.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that just, I don't think I can put into words, but I can kind of see what you're saying, and it's like, you know, not being hung up on any personality. It's like really, really notice, okay, who is here in this very, very second?
That's right.
Who is here? Right.
Yes.
Yes.
And the speed of it, which is what you're responding to, right? Because it may be almost a glimpse out of the corner of the eye. Before that, that is gone and something else is there.
Yeah.
And you're there, being unfolded with all of it.
Oof. Wow. I feel very alert right now.
Yeah. And again, to me, that's the power of the alarms, because that's what happens. You know, the alarm goes off and suddenly it's, what now? Where am I? What's going on? And
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're trained to look at it from the point of view of, is my reaction the right one or the wrong one? Is where I am the way I should be or not the way I should be? But if it's from that perspective of, okay, what's this? Then it's just exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And I can see it not hanging on, because I've been making all these notes and made all these recordings about all these who's here, and it's like, it's not, they're just slipping away. It's not any,
It doesn't seem something to hang on to at all.
Right, right. I mean, it's fun to recognize, but once you get the hang of these characters are kind of passing through. Now, sometimes, you know, as we talked about in a previous conversation tonight, there's somebody who's stuck somewhere and needs something. And maybe that's what the skit's about, right? And so there's being with that. But we don't want to lose sight of the fact that that's happening within a very large context, right? So as I am listening to, working with the part of me maybe who's upset or depressed or frightened or whatever it is, everything else is still going on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I could kind of say, because I did find myself sometimes interviewing, and then sometimes that led to two-handed recording and listening. But I could, it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like everything wasn't stopping for that. I could still see there was other things still going on in the background.
Yes. Like,
making sense. But,
That's exactly it. And what we talk about there is expanded awareness.
Ah, expanded awareness.
And you can have a sense of attention moving from here to here to here to here in that expanded awareness.
Mm. Oh, I love it. Thank you. Thank you.
You are so very welcome. Have fun, huh?
Keep on, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Really good. Thank you. So much.
You're welcome. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Tony and Sherry. That brings us to the end of Open Air today.
Yes, it does. And thank you for taking us through it. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And we will talk to more callers next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Bob.
Sherry. Sure.